Anyway, we're not sure. Jessica Hull joins us on RSN on this Thursday morning. She's over in Europe in the morning, and some incredible news coming out of Jessica at the moment. Jessica, thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, I've got to ask you straight up, share with our listeners where you actually are at the moment in the world.
So I am in Stockholm, Sweden right now, and tomorrow I move across to Gothenburg or Gothenburg. It's spelled different ways each time I see it on paper, so yeah. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it. But, yeah, it's been cool. The last week we've been in the city in Stockholm, and then tomorrow we get to go out to the outskirts and be a bit more coastal.
Okay, so what's it like over there in the moment? Every time we talk to an athlete around the world, we've got to ask about, from a coronavirus perspective, how life is where you currently are. What's it like?
It's almost a little bit too normal in a way. Like, no one is wearing masks, and it's not like when you go to the shops or anything at home and there's hand sanitizers everywhere now. That's a lot fewer and far between, so they have kind of gone back to a little bit more normality here. Social distancing is a very foreign concept. I think that term has been lost on Europe. But at the same time, we're just doing everything we can do with the good habits that we had in place when I was in Australia and my teammates were still back at home in the US. So we're just making sure we keep our distance, make sure we carry our own sanitizers and wear our masks. And if the elevator's full, you wait and take the next one. Just do our little bit to try and minimize exposure. But yeah, apart from what we're doing proactively ourselves, it's almost pretty normal life here, which is a bit crazy.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, before we talk to you about specifically the amazing thing you've done recently, when did you leave Australia? And take us through that process of jumping on a plane and leaving the country when so many people can't, and to going over into Europe, and explain your overall experience to this point.
Yeah, so I left on, I think it was about the 7th of August, and it was a process to get the approval to leave Australia, but luckily I was able to get that all through, and then the airport was a very lengthy process because when you get approved to travel, you just receive an email that says you've been approved to travel. If your port of exit or time changes, you do not need to notify us. It's just saying that you can leave whenever you want, basically. But then when you get to the airport, they have to call Canberra and call the Department of Home Affairs, and then they'll give you a whole receipt number that's specific to you. So the check-in process at the airport is pretty lengthy. And then it was kind of the first flight that I had was Sydney to Doha and then Doha on to London. And it was kind of a little bit stressful, more in the fact of I hadn't been around a lot of people. I had my circle at home was pretty small, and I'd only really been around my family and the people I'd been training with. So to then be in an airport with a lot of people coming from a lot of different places, if you start to think about it, it's a bit scary because you just can't really control where they have been prior to sitting opposite you in the airport lounge. But as I got further into the travel, I got a bit more comfortable about it, and I just thought, well, you know, as long as I'm doing as much as I can to make sure I stay healthy and minimize the chance that I'm going to contract the virus, then that's all I can do at this point in time. And I wouldn't go over there and race, and it's part of my job, so I just have to make sure I'm being as careful as possible.
Jess, one more before we get onto the 5,000 metre record. Tell us about the Diamond League this year. It's a huge event, obviously, over in Europe every summer. And, you know, I was lucky enough to spend one summer over there, and it's on the main channels on free-to-air TV in the UK, which I found quite extraordinary. Tell us about what the makeup is of it this year, obviously, with the Olympics supposed to be scheduled, and how it's running this year.
Yeah, so it's been a delayed season. Initially, this usually kicks off in May and starts in Doha and makes its way across to the US and then for Europe. And about, I would say, probably 60% of the meets this year haven't gone ahead, which there's usually about 12 of them that culminate in you gain points all season to qualify for the finals. And there's a lot of prize money along the way, those kinds of things that this year, with the minimized schedule and the need to, when you stay in a meet hotel, no one has to share rooms this year because you can't really share with someone coming from a different part of the world. So budgets have been restructured, which has meant like different TV stations are playing a lot of the meet. And for my family at home, it's been good that they've been able to just watch straight from YouTube. So that's been nice this year that they haven't had to scrounge around and find where it's going to be played. But yeah, so the prize money has been slashed dramatically in order to make sure that safety protocols can be put in place with those budgets instead. So we all have a COVID test 48 hours before the meet begins. And until the results of that come back, there's no mixed zones or anything. So there's no communal dining or any of those sorts of things until about 36 hours out from the meet when everyone's got their hopefully negative COVID test. And then if there was to be a positive case, they have time to kind of step in and make sure that person doesn't expose the rest of the meet to the virus. So they've taken the precautions, they've adjusted accordingly, and they've been doing an incredible job to give us opportunities that we didn't think we were going to have a few months ago.
So, Jess, you break the Australian record, but not only did you break the Australian record, you smashed it by 4 seconds in the 5,000 metres on the weekend. Tell us about your mindset going in. Did you know you were a chance of breaking it?
Yeah, so going in, I knew I was really fit and I knew I could potentially break the record. I knew my training pointed at all of that, but I went into the meet with a 15-minute PR, so 15 flat, and the record was 14:47.6. So I knew based on the numbers at training, and I'm pretty data-driven and I know how to extrapolate what certain sessions will mean. I knew on paper I could do it, but at the same time being realistic, I was like, well, I've never broken 15 minutes. I can't skip the 14:50s entirely. I think on paper I can probably run somewhere between 14:35 and 14:45, but I can't skip all these steps. And I think that was the best thing my coach kind of did. He just reminded me is that, like, if you run 14:59, that's a massive step forward. So we kind of just took the pressure off the time and focused on competing. And I think that I'm more proud of the way that I actually executed the race and finished fourth in the race amongst women who are extremely experienced in the 5,000 metres. And then the time was an added bonus that I knew as long as I raced competitively, I could probably stay under. But I was very aware of it for the whole 5,000 metres. I was watching the clock every split that I could kind of make sense of. So I knew I was on track, but at the same time, you can't watch the clock too much because it does detract from what you're trying to do on the track.
Yeah, it's an amazing effort. I mean, it's a record that stood for 18 years, so it's an amazing achievement for you. You said, Jessica, that you were going in and were pretty confident that it might have happened. Has there been a secret to this? What's been happening in the build-up to it that has seen you run so fast at the moment?
Yeah, just a lot of consistency. I've been really lucky in that for about the last 4 or 5 years, I've been very healthy. I haven't missed any chunks of time of training. So it's pretty powerful when you stack blocks of work together over time. And then I joined my current coach 12 months ago when I graduated from the University of Oregon. And the first thing, one of the like low-hanging fruits that we knew we could safely approach without risking injury as we transitioned into higher intensity training was increasing the volume of my workouts and like the tempo runs and things like that, that I had a big feeling to improve in, but that weren't the super aggressive speed workouts that are higher risk and do take a lot longer on the body to get used to. So instead of kind of being in the mindset of forcing it all here and now, we kind of started to just really lay the strong foundation that meant that I got into a very good aerobic shape this year. And then off of the back of that, we can start to really hit the speed work hard for the 1500 and the mile kind of oriented races, knowing that I'm strong enough to withstand the loads that stuff takes out of you. Like this morning, we did some really fast 200s and 300s, and I feel more beat up tonight after that than I had felt doing repeat miles and longer tempos in the lead up to this 5,000. I think that work, it just cushions you a little bit better.
So we've spoken to a lot of athletes, Jessica, that should have been competing in the Olympics. Some of the biggest names in Australian sport have joined us over the last month or so. From your perspective, are you happy you've now got an extra year to prepare, or would have you liked to have been competing in the Olympics now, knowing that you're in such great form?
I definitely would have liked to have been there now. I think if we were all given the chance and time, we would have wanted to do it this year. But I know that as a young athlete, there's a lot that I can gain in 12 months. In any athlete, there's a lot you can gain in 12 months, whether that's physically or mentally or just overall lifestyle kind of thing that tends towards your best performance at the Games. So it was pretty quick to, myself and my coach were pretty quick to redirect in that, okay, we've got an extra 12 months, the goals get a bit higher and we've got a lot longer to prepare now, and we can take some risks this year and do the longer stuff and lay that foundation that's needed. And it kind of led to some really good results so far. But I did, taken away from that 5,000 is the potential of running two of those within 72 hours, which is the way the heat and the final are structured in Tokyo. I have a long way to go before my body is ready to withstand that load, and I think that's something that was really important for us to learn this year, because it took me, I would say, 10 full days to recover from that 5,000, and if I've got to turn it around in 72 hours, there's something that we really need to work on going into next year. So it's been a good opportunity to collect some data, and hopefully next year when we get there, it will be even more of a chance for us to grow from.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, 14:43 was your time for the 5,000. What can you go, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. My dad is really big about you don't put a limit on yourself. So as far as that goes, I don't know how little I can take it. But there's a couple of American women right now who I see my progression to be pretty similar to out of the collegiate ranks and into the professional scene, who have just ran in the low 14:20s. So, I mean, why not me? Maybe one day I can also be in that position. I'd like to think that I have the capacity to get there, but really each year every race is just getting so much stronger and stronger. So if I want to be competitive and I want to be a contender for medals on the world stage, then it just has to become part of the mentality of, I would like to run 14:20 one day, and then it just becomes okay, if you want a medal, it's got to be 14:20. So maybe I can take it that way, but I'll keep working to sort of see what I can get out of myself over time.
Fantastic, Jessica. Thanks very much for joining us. And I guess more importantly, stay safe, particularly in Sweden with how it is at the moment. And we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Thanks very much for talking.